بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we continue reading in عمدة الأحكام الحافظ عبد الغني المقدسي رحمه الله تعالى. He died in the year 600 after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Reading from Kitab As-Salah, the book of As-Salah. We have been reading from the chapter the author he had mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, babu fadli al-jama'ati wa wujubiha, the chapter with regards to the clarification of the virtue of the congregational prayer and its obligation, We have seen the narrations the author has mentioned thus far, and he closes this chapter with narrations related to As-Sunan Ar-Rawatib. As-Sunan Ar-Rawatib, also known as As-Sunnatu Ar-Ratibah. As-Sunan Ar-Rawatib, or Ar-Ratibah, أي المستمرة الدائمة. And these are the sunan prayers that are coupled with the obligatory prayers. And these are from the nawafil, or from salat at-tatawwu'. At-tatawwu' meaning non-obligatory. And nafila likewise meaning za'idah, meaning they're extra, they're not obligatory. But the deeds that are non-obligatory, the deeds of righteousness and the actions of worship that are non-obligatory, the ulama, they consider these actions to be like a course or a maidan as-sibaq, yani the course for competing and racing to obtain the pleasure of Allah, and competing to obtain His mercy and the high ranks in the hereafter. Because all of the believers, they have to establish the obligatory actions of worship, and it's incumbent and mandatory upon all of them to establish these affairs, al-fara'id. But after that, there is a great competition for high ranks in the hereafter, and high levels in paradise, and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obtaining His love and His mercy and His pleasure and His aid and support in this life, and success from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise in the hereafter. So it is known that the most beloved deeds to Allah are those that He has made obligatory. And after that, there are actions that are not obligatory that are likewise beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the servant will continue to perform those deeds. And after establishing the obligatory actions, a servant who is successful, he will continue to worship Allah azza wa jal even with the non-obligatory actions until Allah loves him. So this is from the means of obtaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is well known in Al-Hadith Al-Qudsi, الذي رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, in Sahih Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that Allah, he said in that hadith, ما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه, that my slave has never sought nearness to me with anything more beloved to me except that I have made it obligatory upon him, or except what I have made obligatory upon him. Meaning the obligatory actions, they are the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fastest way to gain the pleasure of Allah and His aid and support is to obey Him and to do that which He has made obligatory, from complying to His commandments and staying away from His prohibitions and following His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, he will continue to seek nearness to me by the non-obligatory actions until I love him. Until I love him. فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها وإذا سألني لأعطينا وإذا استعاذ بي لأعيذن. الله أكبر. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that Allah, he said after this, and after clarifying the two levels of seeking nearness to Allah, the first by establishing that which is obligatory, the most beloved to Allah, and then after that, by competing to obtain the love of Allah by performing the non-obligatory actions until Allah loves him. And then if Allah loves him, then he will guide him in his eyesight, and he will guide him in his hearing. It will be his hearing that he hears with, meaning that Allah will guide him in his hearing, and he will be given the ability, and he will be guided to use his hearing in that which is pleasing to Allah, showing thanks with his hearing and staying away from that which is displeasing to Allah, showing the correct appreciation and worshiping Allah with his hearing, meaning Allah will guide him to use his hearing in this manner, and likewise his eyesight, and likewise his hand, and likewise his feet. And at this time, whenever he has reached this level, whenever he is upright, then he is using his body parts and the blessings that Allah have provided for him in the pleasure of Allah and in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, and if he asks me, I will give him. If he asks me, I will give him. And if he seeks refuge with me, then I will give him refuge. So this is just a brief clarification or mention and reminder of the importance of the obligatory affairs. But after that, competing for the love of Allah and for the pleasure of Allah and for the high ranks and status in this life and the hereafter, and to have success from Allah and the help and the aid of Allah, competing by doing the non-obligatory actions. And from the best of that, from the best of the non-obligatory actions, as-sunan ar-rawatib. So with regards to an-nawafil, we have the word nafil or nafila, and the plural is nawafil. And also we have tatawu'at. And these meanings, they have similar meanings, and they're referring to the actions and the deeds that are not obligatory. They are not obligatory, that one would do voluntarily, that if he did them, he would be rewarded, a great reward, and if he did not do them, he would not be held accountable. So there is sadaqa tatawwu', and there one can, after he made Hajj already, the obligatory Hajj, he can make Hajj again, tatawwu', or Hajj al-Nafil, not obligatory. And likewise, a person could fast throughout the year. Of course, Ramadan, that fast is obligatory, fariḍah. But there are other fasts that are considered tatawwu'at, or al-Nawafil, like on Yawm al-Ithnain and Yawm al-Khamis, or Thalathat Ayyam in Kulli Shahr, three days from every month, and the likes like this, and other days. But it is known that the best deed and the most virtuous deed and the most beloved deed to Allah after at-tawheed and establishing La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best deed of al-Islam from the actions is salah. And likewise, from the best means of making tatawwu' and the best means of doing non-obligatory actions, establishing the non-obligatory prayer. And with regards to this, we see that the non-obligatory actions and deeds, they are not all one level or one rank, but rather some of them are more virtuous than others. And this is the reason here we see in this work here by Al-Hafiz Abdul Ghani rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he mentioned here as-sunan ar-rawatib. But in reality, there are many other also non-obligatory salawat, non-obligatory prayers. But these are from the most virtuous of them, and from the best of them. And since this book here is a concise or summarized book with regards to the rulings, not mentioning all of the aspects, and especially sufficing with that which has been muttafaqun alayhi, narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, then he didn't mention all of the issues, but rather just the foundations of the issues, and from the best of as-salawat al-nafilah, or the non-obligatory prayer, or as-sunan al-rawatib, as-sunan al-rawatib. So we see, even from the sunan al-rawatib, or from these highly recommended sunan, there are even some from them that are even more recommended. So we have in general the fuqaha, or the ulama of al-fiqh, and the scholars of jurisprudence, and those who clarify the rulings and the regulations with regards to halal and the haram, and the proper manner to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the clarification of the ibadat and how to perform them. They mentioned that about that which is considered sunnah. And in this light, sunnah is opposite of wajib or fariidah. It's not obligatory. But the action that is considered sunnah, also it is known as mustahab. And also it is known as mandub, something that is recommended, or something that is encouraged. And from the actions that are considered sunnah, there are some of them that are more emphasized than others, or there that which is considered recommended, there is that which is considered mustahab, and there is something that's even more highly recommended, or strongly recommended. And they call this one sunnah mu'akkada. As-sunnah al-mu'akkada. This one is highly recommended. It's not only is it recommended, sunnah, it's recommended, mustahab, mandub, but it's sunnatun mu'akkadatun. Mu'akkada, highly recommended. And these are the sunan that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was diligent to perform them. And with regards to the salawat here, as-sunnah al-mu'akkada fi hadhihi salawat al-nafila hiya al-rawatib. Hiya al-rawatib. They're considered sunnah mu'akkada, highly emphasized. These sunan prayers that we're going to discuss now in these narrations, they're the ones that are coupled with the obligatory prayer, and they're known as sunan al-rawatib, and they're sunnatun mu'akkada. They're highly recommended. And this means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would perform them all the time. He would perform them all the time. And this is one of the meanings of ratiba, ay mustamirra, da'ima. That ratiba, that they're performed all the time. And this is because a person, it's an obligation for him to pray five times in a day. And likewise, from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, rather from the highly emphasized sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is to pray these ar-rawatib along with those obligatory prayers. Sometimes they are before and sometimes they are after, and even in certain circumstances we will see that there are ar-ratiba before and after, al-qabliya wal-ba'diya. Some of them are considered qabliya, before the obligatory prayer. Others are ba'diya, after the obligatory prayer. And then there are instances likewise we will see al-ratiba al-qabliya wal-ba'diya. There is al-ratiba before and after. So these are not only considered sunnah or mustahabba, but rather they are mu'akkada. They are highly emphasized. And from them there is one that is even more highly emphasized, even more than that, and that is the sunnah of fajr. Because we see whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was, whether he was traveling or not, he would continue to pray the sunnah of fajr, to emphasize the great importance of that particular prayer from amongst these rawatib. But as for the rest of them, whenever he's traveling, he did not pray them. But so long as he was a resident, he prayed them. And he continued to pray them daily. And even there were instances whenever he would become preoccupied dealing with the issues of the ummah, and delegations would come to him, and he would be preoccupied and not pray them, or not have time to pray them, and he would make them up. And he would make them up. Or likewise, we have seen previously in the event whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions were traveling until the end of the night, and they fell asleep and did not wake up until after the sun had risen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, He made up the sunnah of fajr. He made up the sunnah of fajr. All of this is indication of the fact that these are highly emphasized. that these are highly emphasized. And even some of the ulama, they would find fault with somebody if they left them continuously, without reason. They would find fault with them. And the likes like this. So these are sunan, al-rawatib, and al-mustamirra. They are continuous, daily, and they are performed before or after, or before and after the obligatory prayer. And these particular sunan are highly recommended. Highly recommended, and they are highly emphasized. And from the benefits of these particular sunan al-rawatib is that they act as a guard and a shield and a means of protection for the obligatory prayer. And that is because, for example, a person who daily he performs two rak'ah sunnah, not obligatory, before fajr. And this is his way. He performs those two sunan every single day. And this is protecting his fariḍah, fariḍah al-fajr. Before he missed the fajr, he would have to miss these two other rak'ah that he prays daily. So, and he doesn't miss them. He wakes in time to perform these two prayers before the obligatory prayer, and he has prepared himself for the salat properly until the extent he's ready to pray two more non-obligatory prayers before the obligatory prayer. So in this manner, his obligatory prayer is being preserved, and the time of the obligatory prayer is being preserved, and it's being protected in this manner like this. And before he ever left off the obligatory prayer, he would have to leave off the non-obligatory prayer first. So it's a protection for him, and a shield and a guard protecting his obligations. And likewise, the scholars, they mentioned that these non-obligatory salawat, هذه الرواتب, they also, not only do they protect the obligatory prayer, but they rectify it as well. And they correct any errors that were found therein, or any deficiencies. And no doubt, every individual, he has deficiencies. And no matter how hard one tries, he will always fall short in performing the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, these al-rawatib are a means to rectify that deficiency that is found in the obligatory prayer. Also, from the benefit of al-rawatib is that, especially those before the obligatory prayer, this is a means to get the soul ready and to get the heart focused in preparation for performing the obligation. Before one even steps into the obligation, fulfilling that great right and responsibility and duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has already prepared his soul for worship and softened his heart and began remembering Allah and remembering the meaning of Allah even before he stepped into the obligatory prayer. Thus, it's a means of preparation and getting his soul ready to perform the obligatory prayer. So there are other prayers likewise that are also sunan, or they're also considered mustahabba or manduba. They're recommended, but they are not at this status, at this rank and this status. And the author, he didn't mention these other salawat, but we will discuss some of them briefly, inshallah. For example, from that, there are some like four raka'ah before asr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Rahim Allahu imra'an salla arba'an qabla al-asr." That may Allah have mercy on a man or individual who prayed four rak'ah before asr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged this, but he did not himself do it daily. So this is indication that it's a sunnah, but it's not of this status. It's not a sunnah that he would do daily and never leave, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the Sunan al-Rawatib. He only left them whenever he was traveling, and then from them he did not ever leave the Fajr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether he's traveling or whether he is a resident. Also from the Sunan al-Mu'akkadah, but they're not from the Rawatib, is the Witr prayer. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise encouraged that with his in speech, and also he would continue to pray it even whenever he's traveling, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night prayer. So this one is considered a sunnah mu'akkadah, but it's not from al-rawatib. So this is something that we want to pay attention to whenever we're discussing this issue. Now we're going to be discussing the issue of al-rawatib. So these are sunnah, they're the sunnah prayer. They're from the nawafid, or from the tatawu'at. But they are highly recommended, and they're a specific number. and they have a specific time. They have a specific number and they have a specific time. And there are other likewise types of nawafil, salawat, nafila, for example, like duha also, but it's not highly recommended to this extent. Rather, this is just a sunnah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray it sometimes, and sometimes he would not pray it. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu wa barakatuhu alayhi. So, a sunnah al-rawatib, the author, he clarified these prayers, when they are and how many they are, and the narrations that he mentioned, and we read, and he says, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma annahu qal, صليتُ مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين قبل الظهر وركعتين بعد الظهر وركعتين بعد الجمعة وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد العشاء. The author, he says, وفي لفظ فأما المغرب والعشاء والجمعة ففي بيته. وفي لفظ أن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال حدثتني حفصة رضي الله عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي سجدتين خفيفتين بعدما يطلع الفجر وكانت ساعة لا أدخل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, and he said, I prayed with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم too. Raka before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr and two after Al-Jumu'ah and two after Al-Maghrib and two after Al-Isha. And in one wording, the author, he mentions, as for the Maghrib and the Isha and the Jumu'ah, then in his house. He prayed them in his house, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in one wording, that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said that Hafsa narrated to me, radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pray two light rak'ah after the fajr has risen. And this was a time that I would not enter upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the narration that the author, he mentioned, and will clarify a sunnah ar-rawatib. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we will discuss these issues in detail. But we read the chapter now, and because of the brief time we have left. And likewise, after this, the author, he mentioned, an Aisha radiallahu anha qalat lam yakun an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala shay'in min an-nawafil ashadd ta'ahudan minhu ala rak'at al-fajr. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never showed so much concern and had great care to perform and keep up with anything from the non-obligatory prayers the way he did with the two rak'ah of fajr. وَفِي لَفْظٍ لِمُسْلِمٍ, the author, he says, رحمه الله, and in one wording by Al-Imam Muslim, رَكْعَةَ الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا, that the two rak'ah of Al-Fajr is better than this life and all that it contains. This narration here, I encourage the listeners to memorize this narration in this moment. And Aisha radiallahu anha, and it says in Sahih Muslim, this is the wording from Muslim, Rak'ata al-Fajri, Rak'ata al-Fajri, two words, Khayrun, three words, Min, four, Ad-Dunya, five, Wa ma fiha, 6, 7, 8, less than 10 words, Rak'ata al-Fajri, Khayrun min Ad-Dunya wa ma fiha, Rak'ata al-Fajri, Khayrun min Ad-Dunya wa ma fiha, Rak'ata al-Fajri, Rak'ata al-Fajri, Khayrun min Ad-Dunya wa ma fiha. If you repeat this 3 or 4 or 5 times, inshallah, you'll memorize this narration found in Sahih Muslim, the narration of of Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha, radiyallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rak'at al-Fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, that the two rak'ah, the non-obligatory rak'ah before Fajr, is better than this whole life and everything in it. Yani from the beginning of this dunya to the end, everything in this life, these two prayers, these two rak'ah, before the obligatory prayer, is better than all of that. It's better than having all of that. Allahu Akbar. Rak'at al-Fajri, khayru min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. And we suffice with that this evening. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.